Hey, everybody, this is John Moore.
And this is Jason Salter.
And this is Two Farts
in a Can.
Are we going to explain that this time?
Nope.
Okay, we'll move on. Hey, guys, and welcome to Two Farts in a Can. We're going to get to this episode today, which is Horse Apples Hurt. Now, that's going to be explained here in a minute, but we'll do all of that right after this. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Two Farts in a Can. Jason, what's going on, bud?
Not much, my brother from another mother. Just chilling out, representing the Panthers.
Well, we have got a special one today because someone's with us. A lot of people from the 86 class. Well, a lot of people from all those classes know. Todd Daniels with us. What's up, man?
Not a whole lot, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. It is hilarious to listen back to this, so I'm honored to be here.
We'll see how honored you are when I finally
reveal the big
secret.
We've been talking shit for 40 years. Somebody finally gave us a TV and a microphone to broadcast.
Right. Right. This will be cathartic.
This is Todd, we're going to have a big reveal with Todd today. So Todd, tell us about it. I know we kind of said something on the, when we did our little intro video yesterday, but tell us where you are. You're retired. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, retired from the Air Force back in 2018, and we moved down here to San Antonio. Yeah, so 26 and a half years. We lived all over the world, from England to Crete to Japan, Nebraska, Colorado, and lots of points in between. And so it was a wonderful life, a lot of fun. Got to fly a really interesting airplane and see a whole bunch of awesome things and sample beer from around the world. So there's worse lives to live, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know that you were excited to come on here, but you kind of look like the guy from Officer and a Gentleman. You didn't have to wear your whites. You look pretty fancy. Do we call you General
or the Gentleman?
Well, you can call me General if you want. I may not answer to it, but you can give it a go.
You know, not a lot of people know this, Todd, but you and I actually have something in common. We both served our country just in different capacities. I did two tours with the Salvation Army. And so solidarity, my brother.
Nice.
War as hell on people. I was stationed in Waxahachie.
Yeah. In charge of reused sofas.
War as hell on a man.
I was waiting tables.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers too, John. So it's
Canada.
I'm not going to dig ditches. It's just like a basketball. I don't play defense. That's it. So Jay. What any new responses before we get this thing started? We got a big deal that Todd and I are going to talk about, and you're going to have fun listening to. But any new responses this time?
Yeah, I got to tell you, John, it's more fun for me to go in after the show is over and after it's posted and wait 24, 48 hours and go in and start reading some of the responses, because they're fantastic. Watching people come out of the woodwork. Chuck Swanson actually emerged from the darkness. And all he said was, I started listening to you guys and almost wrecked my freaking car on the way home laughing myself silly. So good to see you, Chuck. Glad you're back in the fold. You've been avoiding us for 40 years, but now you got a little publicity. Suddenly you're on the bandwagon again.
Yeah, Todd, you know, Daniel doesn't like Chuck.
What? Yeah.
Chuck's a Longhorn. And Daniel's
a Longhorn.
Yeah, so every person has their flaw.
Well, you know, Chuck's too good of a guy not to like.
I got another response that I thought was interesting. And I don't know if you guys know the Borchardt sisters, but there was
Cheryl
and Christy and Rhonda, and they all lived up the street. Rhonda was the oldest one. And it was interesting because she's apparently fixated with having been my babysitter. I don't know what all of that is about. But she did define John as my little kid friend, so that was kind of fun.
I know. In fact, Ron and I just had a conversation, and I just said, you know, I don't know what I like being called the little kid friend. And she goes, well, you two were so cute. And I said, so you mean there wasn't a chance? Because you were always the really hot older neighbor chick.
Right. I was 7. You were 21. It was a May-December thing.
No kidding. Yeah, the Borchards. So Cheryl was the one that you and I knew, because she was just a year older than Todd knew her, too. She was just a year older than us. But I remember the older sister. Christy was one, right?
Yep, Christy.
Yeah, Christy and Rhonda. Well, Dina Weaver reached out to me after we talked about the serenading and sent me a message, and she was dying laughing at it. She goes, I don't remember you serenading me. She goes, I think Greg was the only one that ever did any serenading. And I went, you know, you're probably right. I said,
that's a whole lot of small talk for a restraining order. I don't think she said that.
I don't, man. And she, I said, he totally caught me off guard. I mean, that was a question out of left field that I never saw coming on that one. And I said, because one time Greg and I went and hit on Dina and Yvonne, we were trying to hit on them all. I said, I must have bragged to Jason that I kissed you or something. And that's what got that thing going. Oh.
And tune in next week, folks, for the biggest lie you ever heard.
Okay, so we have teased this. I hope it lives up to infamy here.
Oh, my.
No pressure, Todd.
I know, right?
So just try not to fuck this up for us. We got a good thing going here.
Here's what's funny. Now, this is what's really funny about this. This was probably, I think, at one of the reunions. I made a joke to Todd about it, just kind of halfway made a joke about it, just between me and him. And he laughed. And then we both got this really weird look on our faces. And we looked at each other and we went, have you ever told anybody about that? And I thought about it and I went, you know what? I never have told anybody about that. And I figured out why. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But because there's no reason why someone in the fifth grade would not have gone and told everybody. Right, Todd? I mean, that's what we would have done.
That's the real point of this story, is not actually the story, but it is a story of friendship and trust at a very young age. And so that's probably the best lesson that we can take from this.
Now, Todd, I'm assuming since we've had some conversations on Facebook where I've made jokes about it, I am assuming that Michelle knows about it.
She does know about it. And the one thing she said before I came in here is, remember that you are a reflection of my life choices. So don't make this.
So I've got a man about town. I'd like to recommend a divorce attorney to you. I've got him on retainer, actually.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, here's what's going to be exciting about this. First of all, it's going to be from my perspective first. Now, okay. I have never heard Todd's perspective because I'm anxious to hear about this.
All right.
Because you may not, Todd, even really know what happened on my end. Except
I don't. I don't.
So, Todd and I both went to Alexander just for fifth grade. So, I don't know. Todd, did you go to any other Duncanville schools or did y'all?
That was our first time. You know, my parents are from there and we'd moved back in fifth grade.
In fifth grade. And I had gone to Merrifield all the way to fourth, and we had bought a house out by Jason, whom I had met that summer, and it's in the description of the podcast of how we met. And so, no, Jay and I weren't buds yet at that point. So, and Todd, I put this together. This was really – this was the first of the year. It had to be the first week or two.
I was just thinking about that today. It had to have been in the first 2 weeks.
Because we weren't running buddies yet. We weren't buddies mm-hmm. yet or anything. In fact, so, Jason, who did you have for fifth grade? We had Mrs. Eubanks. Who did you have?
I don't know. I was drunk and asleep.
Was it Miss Archibald? I don't
Look
know.
At him.
I'm pretty sure it was Miss Archibald. Miss Archibald, Miss Eubanks. There were only two teachers.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think I had Miss Archibald for homeroom.
Okay.
That's where the kids like me went.
So. Yeah. 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 So anyway, so Miss Eubanks catches my attention. I hear John, and I look up to her desk. She goes, come here. And so she calls me up there and she goes, would you do me a favor? Would you go and go check on Todd? And I went, sure. And I went, who's Todd? And she goes, Todd Daniels. She goes, he just ran to the restroom. Will you go down there and go check on him? And I went, sure. I mean, this was, I thought about this too, Todd. Thank God we didn't break to go to recess or anything.
There's so many things that could have happened.
So I go
on top. All right.
I go wandering down the hallway and I go around to the boys' restroom. And if you remember back then, Jay, on one side of the restroom was all urinals that went to the ground because no boy at 11 years old or 10 year old has any aim whatsoever. So they had to put a whole wall to the ground of urinals. And to the right side, unlike today, no stalls, just a row of toilets sitting there.
Yep.
And about halfway down, sitting on one of the toilets. He's got his pants down to his below his knees.
This is turning out so much better than I thought.
Oh my gosh.
He's got his you got to see this now. His elbows are on his knees and his head is in his hands. Like that.
Yes.
And so I'm looking at him and I'm not even now you got to realize I'm not even positive it's him because I still don't quite know who it is and I just kind of meekly went, "Todd?"
And, yes.
And he looked up and he looked at me and he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Miss Eubanks sent me to check on you. Are you okay?" And he goes, "No." And I went walking down there to see what was up because, you know, we didn't have no shame. We were showering butt races in high school. So I just go walking down to see what's going on. And as I got in front of Todd, I realized what had happened.
Oh, boy. Oh, my.
You guys because, can't see Todd, but I'm watching the level of red.
Dude, I can feel myself turning red like retroactively 40 years.
I can hear your heartbeat through the video.
I can feel it.
So between Todd's legs are his underwear, pants down, and apparently, let's just say we've all had this when you don't make it. He didn't make it. And it was there was a trail from the underwear up over the seat of the toilet into the toilet.
I mean, man alive.
Oh my God.
So let me keep this going. So I'm like, when I saw him, I went, "Oh." And I went, he goes,
"You're supposed to be in Miss Archibald's class with Jason. That's where those kids go."
And I go, and he just goes, "Can you tell Mrs. Eubanks I need to call my mom or we need to call my mom?" And so I went back around and I go in class and I don't know what I look like, but I was just walking straight up to her desk and I was real quiet. And she goes, "Is he okay?" And I went,
"Todd shit his pants."
And I go, And she goes, "No." And I go, he had an accident.
Oh my God.
And he needs to call his mom. And so I became this guy, like they weren't going to go in the restroom, not the women. So we had to go call his mom. When your mom showed up, she didn't even know who I am.
You know who showed up?
Who?
Patty Klimmer, because my mom was teaching at the high school, and Patty lived just right down from Alexander Elementary.
And she went and got your clothes?
She brought some of her kids over, Chad's, I think.
And so she brought it, and I went and got it from the office and brought it to Todd. I will say I did not help Todd at that point. He was all on his own at that point.
Now, the only thing that would have helped me was a flamethrower at that point.
I was about to say, you crap your pants in the fifth grade, you got two choices. Burn them or go back to class naked. That's it. That's all you got.
And I don't know, man.
And here's what I put together. Things that were luckier than hell for Todd.
Oh.
First of all, we are brand new at the school.
This is going to be a short list.
Yeah. We are brand new at the school. That's the first thing. We are brand new at the school. Second of all, I have no buddies. He's lucky that I had not been there. Think of Jay. Think if you and I had been three years buddies.
So you had no friends, and that's the guy you picked.
Right. He's got a big heart.
Hang out?
Right.
Because you know – and Todd, anybody can say this. If Todd and I were already buddies and this were you, Jason, he would have come back to me and gone, "See that dude over there?"
Right.
Just shit himself all over the place in the bathroom. I didn't know y'all. I didn't know anybody. So that's why I figured out I never really said anything because I didn't have a buddy to go hang out with. I was new to Alexander and you were lucky. That's the only reason. I am a good guy. No, I'm just a really good guy.
Actually, you have Alzheimer's, and you just remembered that story.
Do what?
You have Alzheimer's. You just remembered that story.
It just popped in, right.
Okay, so now we've got to hear it this way. What the hell happened, Todd? I mean, did you not make it? We know you didn't make it.
He made it. He just decided to pick it up and throw it.
No, right. I just scooped in the underwear out of it. Right. No, so I remember sitting in class.
Tell me how this started. Well,
I don't want to show you, but I will tell you.
Okay.
So I remember sitting in class, and you know, when you're a kid, especially in those prison toilets that we had, right? You didn't want to be on display, and you had to time it out to where the fewest amount of kids, if you ever had to do it. So I think most of us held it all day long, right? And I remember sitting in class, and all of a sudden you got the or something to that effect, which made me go, oh. Now I have to. Now I've got the calculus, right? Stay in class or go take a poop, right? And see. And so I kind of weigh that, and I sit there a little while longer, and I go, I get that again. Now it's uh-oh. So now I'm up, I'm clenched, I'm going to Mrs. Eubanks. Ma'am, can I please? And I'm doing the penguin down the hall. You know, and we went in between the classes, and you hooked a right. And about the time I opened the door, it was, oh, no, 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 no. And it started happening with about two paces left. And I remember just thinking, so many thoughts go through your head. Number one, I can't believe I'm shedding my pants, right? And number two is, please, dear God, don't let anyone see me. And so now I'm there, and I'm in this very compromised position, going, what in the world do I do? I can't waddle out of here. You know, I'm going to leave a trail of destruction all the way to the office.
Todd, you're dropping the corn out of your pocket.
And so I'm just kind of sitting there, you know, I'm just like my whole life is on pause, except for the part thinking I am ruined. Right?
Yeah.
No kid is ever going to hang out with me. I don't know anyone. It's going to be Mr. Poopy Pants and all that.
You have to move.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be all that for the rest of my life. And so whatever time period went by is when.
Because let's be honest, Todd. Even if you became buddies with all of us, which you did, we were going to give you shit about that all through high school.
Well, and that's really the point of the story, right?
Yeah.
Is that you have kept this socially destructive secret for all those years, right? And at any given moment, you could have let that spring, and it would have been, no, granted, right? We've been seniors. We would all laughed about it. But you still kept it until you got the flag that it was okay to talk about it. So I will always be appreciative of that, John.
I have gotten quite, since I brought it up, and we kind of, everybody would try to message me, dude, what happened? And I'm like, dude, I can't talk about it till he says it's okay. Now it was a matter of pride.
And of course, I was like, right?
And you know what? I didn't even remember if I had ever told you, Jay, and that's when I asked you this last week. I said, did I ever tell you about that? And you go, I don't know what you're talking about. And I went, okay, well, I can't tell you then.
Oh, my God. No, you didn't tell me that. Let me tell you what the luckiest thing Todd had going for him that day. That Mrs. Eubanks sent you and not me, because it would have been a completely different outcome if it had been me.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah. you had been there since kindergarten, so you had your whole mess of buddies who all became within a month, they were all our buddies, you know, within a month. But at that time, we were all filling each other out.
Look at this. And I've got 40 years of red that is like accumulated in my head right now, too. Right?
You look like a thermometer.
It's very, very cathartic, like I said.
So, what did you think when I walked in?
Oh, shit. You know, is this kid going to ruin me? You know? But then I could just tell that you were going to be cool about it. That was the only thing I had going, was that I could tell you were going to be cool about it.
I was in shock. And I was like, in all honesty, I felt horrible for him. I went, oh, no.
But what you didn't say is that you stood guard outside the door and didn't let anybody else in there.
I do remember that. Yes.
That's huge. That's a Stand By Me.
That's the big one, right?
Yeah, I did. I do remember that. And Miss Eubanks told me to and said, would you stand there and don't let anyone go in? I said, sure. And I had no problem doing it. And that's when I could have told somebody too, we got a shitter in here.
Sorry, park's closed. The shitter inside should have told
me. Right, right.
Todd has seen these guys all the time, the guys with the little – when you're bringing your plane in, waving them off and telling them you need to go over here. And
right.
You got to bring it over here. So, that's it, guys. Todd,
and you know what? Seeker. That may be it.
Every single one of us have done that. Every one of us have. Well, have
Jason saying no, right? Thanks.
Even if I did, I wouldn't say it.
Yep, he did it.
Now I'm ruined at 50, but I don't care anymore. So, right.
Well, and let me tell you what.
Now you poop your pants, it's no big deal.
That's true.
Well, we've all thought we trusted a fart, and it wasn't. So we've all done it. Now, we didn't do it to the extent of Todd. Now, so, I mean, but we've all had to go in the restroom and go, oh, crap. You know,
I gotta tell you, John, I was really worried that this story was gonna suck.
Yeah,
boy, I'm so glad I stuck around for it. I can't believe I just heard the beginnings of the word shart because,
yeah, right,
that is amazing.
It totally was. And I tell you right now, it's appropriate the background of my picture up here that no one can see.
She's although happier,
that, I can tell you that is not Todd. Or no. Michelle. That's not Michelle either. Or no, Kathy.
She's smiling. There's no poop in her pants. It's not that.
She's relaxing.
Okay. So, all right. Now the next thing we're going to do here, let's see. We were going to try to keep this thing about 30, 40 minutes tonight. So we got to get into the fun part here. All right. We got a good 20 minutes to go here at least.
Hey, can I ask Todd a question before we move on?
Sure.
Just want to break up the monotony for a second. First of all, seriously, I know I was kidding about it earlier, but thank you so much for your service. I mean, 26 years, that's amazing. And quite honestly, my son was thinking about joining the Air Force before he got into the fire school. And I bragged on you. So I've got a good friend that made an amazing career out of it. Actually, several friends, you and Robbie Licardi and, you know, several guys that made a great career out of the Air Force. So thank you very much for that. And I've been waiting for us to have a military man on so that I could tell them how much I appreciate it. And I have one question for you, and I'm hoping you can help me.
Okay.
Can you teach me how to waterboard John?
Oh yeah, easy. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that offline, but absolutely.
Whew, thank you.
Yeah. No, Todd, the way you have to do that, you have to go, absolutely not. I can never teach you how to do that because that is illegal.
That's true.
That's how you have to do that while shaking your head. Absolutely. Right. What did you retire?
Correct, the lieutenant colonel. That's smart.
Were you a lieutenant colonel?
No, I was a colonel.
Is that above lieutenant colonel?
Yes, it's a full bird colonel is what they call it.
I think I said shit in front of him. Is that a
lie? Oh, my Lord. Yeah, at least you're at attention when you said it, so thank you.
How did you know?
Because of that picture behind you.
That picture that's going on. So, all right, so let me. What was the plane that you flew? You've told me this. It's
a RC-135, so it was a four-engine kind of based on the old Boeing 707, and it was completely stripped out on the inside and loaded with electronics. And so these airplanes would fly around the bad guys and just suck in every bit of electronic that you can imagine that's going on out there. And it would analyze it and hopefully, you know, let us try and figure out what the bad guys are doing and to help keep the good guys safe as well.
Very
everything cool. Else I got to kill you for, man, right?
Yeah, you
John,
can't.
John, ask him another question.
What?
John, ask him something else.
you want to see me die. I get it. Okay.
Right.
I see now what you're trying to do. So a 707. So did you think about when you retired, did you not think about maybe getting into commercial or?
No, you know what? I was just ready to do something different. I love the camaraderie of being in a flying squadron, especially being in an overseas flying squadron. Like this kind of thing we're doing right now is just happening all the time, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just this close-knit group of people. And so I missed that, but I didn't want any more, you know, being away from the family. I just kind of felt like I'd done enough of that.
Yeah, Michelle, hats off to Michelle. I mean, she
– oh, my gosh.
How many times did she take care of everything while you were gone?
Many, many.
For a long time.
It was a family, that's for sure.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. The heroes of military, as much as the guys and gals that serve are heroes, the families back home, man, give the love up to them. I mean, they do a lot.
Absolutely. And my kids all went through different schools and different friends, and it happened a lot. So, yep, thanks.
Yeah, y'all moved to – you lived in Japan at one time, didn't you?
Yeah, Okinawa. That's a whole nother segment, man.
Was that cool, though?
Oh, it was great.
My girlfriend, Jill, went to high school in Hong Kong.
Oh, no kidding.
From the Philippines. She's an Air Force. And her dad was an Air Force, worked for the consulate. She's got some great stories, too, about living overseas as a military person.
Yep.
Okay, so for any of y'all, I hope Brian Wall listens to this because we've got one. Okay, so I like to call it, and I've said it wrong, and Todd will correct me. I kept calling it the Battles of Merrimack, but that's not it. It's actually the Battles of Merriwood. And everyone knows that for that group above and below us that did it, about 1 year above and below us, we did this for about 3 or 4 years. We did this. This was pretty fun. Now I want to – so it was the – okay, first of all, we – horse apples hurt. For any of y'all that don't know that, and let me say something here. Let me lead into this. So we used to have these horse apple wars over at George Ogden's place, and a lot of people know George, and tragically we lost George a year after we graduated high school. But I tell you right now, we're not going to get sad here. George is laughing his ass off right now at this and smiling at this, guaranteed, with his sense of humor and what's going on. But let me read the description. So here's what happened. So my wife is from Illinois, and so we called them horse apples, and I started thinking, what do other people call these? Because I wanted to get this right for anybody that's not a Duncanville kid. So, you know, because like we say Coke, and Coke means Dr. Pepper, Sprite, all of that. And my wife says pop. That's what she says, from Illinois. So I asked her, and she goes, you know, I think it was a horse apple. She goes, I can't remember. So I started looking it up. It's technically called an Osage tree. Is what it's called. It's called an Osage tree. And some people call them, they're not, there's horse apple, and there's also, they call them hedge apples. Can you see me? And they're not also
for a second. A full David Copperfield. That was awesome.
And they call them hedge apples. But here's the deal. So these things, so I wanted to know, are these things actually edible? They're not. Nobody eats them. You know what they are, the green things, but I thought this was hysterical. Two different descriptions. Here's the one description. This is off of, this was one, I don't know what this was off of. It's called the horse apple, called the Osage tree. And they said they exist for kids to throw at each other and raise big welts. That's one description. Okay.
Fitting.
And here's the other one. In the hands of a child, the fruit can become dangerous weapons. Literally two different things said that, and I thought, that is how we got to get in. Now, it's really interesting what these trees are used for. They actually will usually plant a bunch of them in a row, and because they grow real thick and real tall, and they'll be used as kind of a barrier, like for farmers.
Are you serious right now?
Yes, I'm being serious. That's what they're for. And so
carry on with your botany lesson.
Yeah.
Yes, right. It's a wind block.
My inner botanist, as I've got some woman behind me over my shoulder here. Okay, so Todd, how did this start? Y'all invited me.
Yeah.
How did it start?
We were over at George's one night, and I think it was me and Caraway, Wade, maybe Foot, a few other people, and we were bored one night. And so we decided we were going to play flashlight tag or hide and seek or some such crap out in his woods, right?
Yeah.
Well, that, of course, quickly devolved into somebody chucking something at someone else, right? I mean, how long did that take? 10 minutes, right, before we were trying to hurt each other?
We would throw rocks at each other.
Right. And so then it became, I don't remember how the horse apple appeared, whether it was there. I think George had one right outside his place. And we started firing those at each other. And then it became, remember, Red Dawn time frame, right? The movie Red Dawn.
The movie Red Dawn.
And so we decided that we were going to divide up into teams, and if you got hit with a horse apple, you were dead, which then evolved into buying camouflage, of course, which went to face paint. Yep. And so 4-on-4 went to about 6-on-6, 8-on-8, 10-on-10. I mean, probably at its biggest, it was dang near 15 to 20 people on a side, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we would send one group would go out to the woods, and the other
That's
one
right.
would wait like 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And when the 15 or 20, and it was always played at night. Well,
we
played in the day sometimes.
Yeah. But we played at night. Yeah.
Yeah. And there were some, who was that?
I don't know. I know I'm doing a very important podcast here?
Jason, that's just rude. Turn the ringer off, please. So, but Jason, did you ever play?
No. I think I played once.
I was going to say, I think you did one time.
all the boys were off at war, and when that happened, somebody's got to tend the home fires. And so, listen, there's a reason half your children look like me.
Oh, my gosh.
Good luck with your horse apples.
Well, through this came some hysterical moments. One night, we talked Derek Shepherd into playing. And this was late at night. So I don't – you hear the story of how scared the black man can be? Derek Shepherd lived up to every stereotype of being scared. And so when you go to the woods to do this, you're not – you're going to hide. Derek took a flashlight because he wanted to make sure he knew where he was the whole time. And I'll never forget coming up, and I came up on Derek, and he was on my team, and we were moving around, and the team coming out searching always had the flashlight, you know, and so they were coming out searching, and Derek was over to the side, and I got up near him, and I went, "Derek," like that, and he froze. He was wearing camo, and he froze like he was a tree, and he didn't move. And I went, "Derek," and he still wouldn't move. And I go, "It's me. It's John." He goes, "Oh, you son of a," and then he started moving again. But I've never seen, like, he thought he became invisible. He was not even in anything. He just went.
Oh my gosh.
And just froze. It was so funny. But Todd and I were both there for the big one. Oh, and that is if Brian Wall is listening tonight, if someone needs to find him to listen to this and hear his version of it, can we say probably the game changed when the baseball players decided to play?
The game changed when G decided to play. When Glenn Ortega decided to play is when everything went from fun to survival.
Yeah. You didn't want to be. Happened,
but I could visualize what the story is about to be in my head.
Well, so we would be in full Rambo, right? Just face paint from top to bottom. G would be in jeans and a T-shirt because he was afraid of nothing.
Just like this. Come on.
Right. And he could throw 100 yards on a rope, you know.
Well, he was a catcher. I mean, he was used to the quick release and throw it on a dart 90 yards, just like that. And I don't even – so Todd and I – Brian Wall was on our team. You said you thought he was climbing through barbed wire?
It was over – there was a pond that had a little raised trail right next to it, and there was a barbed wire fence, which was just on the other side.
Right.
And we were all right there and thinking that they were coming.
Right. And we were moving. We were probably about – we were social distancing, probably about 6 feet apart. So we – between it. We never heard anything but the noise of wind coming behind it, and you heard – I mean – it hit Brian Wall under his arm right here in the chest. And that sound, what did you describe it great? What was that sound?
It was a bat hitting a watermelon.
Yeah. Oh, dude. You know, and when you got hit, you would yell, "I'm out," or "I'm hit," or whatever. He tried to, but his breath was immediately taking, and he went like that. And he was going like that. And then he started spitting up blood. I mean,
oh my gosh,
dude,
this story went dark fast.
Oh yeah, we stopped.
Yeah. And yeah, what we stopped for a second and said, "Are you all right?" And he goes, yeah. And he spit, and we go, "Okay." Well, then we ran because Ortega was somewhere. He was like a sniper. He could just stand out at a distance we couldn't throw and just throw at you.
Oh my god, were you guys scared?
Oh geez.
Oh my gosh,
I can
crap your pants.
I can
damn it, again. Funny.
I can, in fact, tell you, horse apples hurt. Horse
really
apples.
Badly.
Oh, my gosh. They hurt. And they, and we, even, look, you didn't, and they were, you know, what is the purpose of the horse apple? I still haven't figured this out. I went and did my deal. They're sticky. They're ugly. They're the size of a freaking softball. And they, and literally, it's funny that everybody describes them as weapons, and we turned it into a damn game.
Right. And Kyle Davis was the one that would go all around town with that Toyota truck, I think, that he had, and he would ask people, "Can I take your horse apples out of your yard?"
Yeah, he would show up. It's like paintballers today. He would show up and he was loaded.
He was building an armory.
Do what?
I was building an armory.
Right.
So that was the horse apple story. So, you know what? We've only gone about 35 minutes here. So before we get out of here, we got to tell anything. What's a memory, Todd? Give me one of your favorites from high school or after or whatever that we all did, that just something crazy.
Oh, my God. Well, the one I can't tell on the air about that we discussed the other night, but
I'll tell it.
No. That one's going to go Mike Martin's house.
Oh,
yep. Yeah. Nope. You know what? It's so funny. And I've heard you guys talk about this on your podcast. And what's so funny is how we can go all these years without seeing, without talking, without doing anything. And then here we are sitting, you know, Jason's in Florida, John, you're up in Dallas area, right? I'm down here in San Antonio. And it feels like it never stopped.
Yeah. No.
Kind of hit a pause button and here we are, you know, and I think we've all got so many funny stories that we could tell about everyone, and these webs and tentacles reach out through so many different groups of kids, you know, and we all had different sets of buddies, but we all intertwined, and you know, then all the girls that sat back and experienced all this craziness that we did, and heck, some of them were in charge of the craziness themselves, right? And yeah. So it's fun that we're able to pick it up and go again. I don't know if we have enough time to go over all the stories together, you know, save for war. So y'all remember George had one eye, right? So George, poor George got his eyes shot out with the BB gun when he was in sixth or seventh grade. So when we were playing war, we decided one day, hey, let's up the game. Let's do BB guns. Right? Now, no one said
what
no.
What could go wrong?
So we did this a few times with the BB guns, right?
Just made George tribute.
Well, right. Well, so one day we're playing war, and we all had these. We had goggles, had wood cutting goggles, and Chuck Brashear showed up with nothing. Well, you know, George in his giving manner gave Chuck his goggles, and George just threw on a pair of sunglasses. So we're playing and we're shooting each, and all of a sudden you see George's head go back and he whips off those glasses and he's holding his left eye, his good eye.
Oh my God.
And I remember just like my sink, I'm getting it right now, just this sinking feeling. And George, he's holding his eye and he's not talking. And I'm like, well, he's done. He's blind, right? I mean, this is finished. I can't believe that we blinded George. Yeah. And when he takes out and he finally gets brave enough to look, and the BB hit him on the closed eyelid.
Oh my God.
He just happened to close his eye and it hit on the eyelid, and man, it was like hot irons. We dropped those BB guns and never again. Like, nope, that was it.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Right. That's from the Christmas story. That's the story of right there. Yeah, because we used to take Jason and I used to take BB guns down to the creek and shoot at each other.
Yep.
Right.
We were stupid. Well, guys, let's wind this thing up. This has been a blast. We're going to get the video out probably in about a week. This podcast will be out later tonight. Todd, it's been great having you. We're going to do this again. When you think of it, you're going to think of stories. You'll tell us and we'll get ready to do it another time. So, Jason, anything else before we head out?
No, Todd, are you coming back? I'd love for you to come back again. I mean, if you got another I shit my pants story.
Maybe I'll work. I had Indian food tonight. Maybe I'll work one up for you.
Man, it was great to see you, and let's keep in touch. I got your phone number now, and it's good to see you. I'm glad you're doing well, and all you guys on Facebook all the time, and I'm just glad to see you doing well, and everybody really doing well. So,
yeah, thanks, fellas. It's been a lot of fun.
Yep, this has been great. Guys, we're going to wind this thing down. We want to thank everybody for listening to it. You know, follow us. Go follow us on Twitter at Two Farts in a Can, or follow us on Instagram at Two Farts in a Can. I hope to maybe one day we'll get you, of course, join the group on Facebook that we've joined and do that. We'll have this thing out later tonight. Everybody say goodbye. Todd?
Deuces. See y'all later.
Jason?
Deuces.
I'm out, guys. Like I say at the end of every one, I call myself the recliner nerd. The nerd is out.